Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, I was feeling pretty hungry on the way over today, so I stopped off and got us a couple orders of fries.
Oh, great, Jim. I'm always up for some fries.
Do you have any ketchup?
Sure, Jim. Check in the fridge right there.
Oh, wow. Real tomato ketchup, Patrick?
Nothing but the best, Jim.
So, Patrick, we've been talking about movie music
week. Well said, Jim.
Because the Oscars are coming up this weekend. And, you know, this is a topic that you can go on and on about.
There's
so many songs, so many great uses of music in movies that, you know, people really respond to or remember.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just pick two.
Okay.
And then I'll save others for next year.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Is that good?
The next Oscars. Yeah.
Okay, so this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us all this week is Charlie Barnett. We've been at his home. We've been, like, camped out
here,
right?
It's been amazing. Yeah.
Thanks for having us, Charlie.
Yeah.
You guys have to leave soon.
I know.
The word has come down from upstairs. It's time to get out of here.
Your wife wants us out.
Now, before you jump in.
Yes, go ahead.
Now, how do you guys know each other? Is it just from you seeing the band, or?
So, my day job. I work in the next office from Charlie's wife, Meg.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So that's it?
Because Charlie doesn't leave the house.
I don't go anywhere.
Yeah, we've heard that already.
Unless it's a gig.
And sometimes the giant.
To hear his own music.
That's right.
That's right. Hopefully it's play. And if it's not, I leave.
That's right.
I come home.
If one of the band calls you and tells you to come to Giant to hear it, yeah.
So we've had Charlie on all this week because he composes, in his day job, he composes scores for films and TV work, things like that. And earlier in the week, if you haven't listened, go back and do that because it's a really interesting conversation on how that's done.
He's also pretty good at podcasting.
It's a lot. doing that kind of work is a lot different from, you know, somebody just kind of sitting in their bedroom, scratching together little pop ditties, right? This is like
quite a bit
serious work.
Mm-hmm. You know? Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Seems like it to me.
Okay.
But lately, in the last couple of days, we've been talking about songs from movies.
Kind of up our alley.
Yesterday, you had a couple of selections, and I'm going to play
a couple of my favorites. Okay.
And these are, I think, sort of wildly different.
Okay.
All right? So first off, I thought of who's a director who really likes to incorporate key, you know, pop music into a scene.
Okay.
In just the right way. Mm-hmm. And I thought of Wes Anderson.
Oh, okay.
You're familiar with Wes Anderson's
movies,
right?
Sure, yep.
So I'm going to kind of turn this around. The listeners can't see this, but I'm going
to
play these guys. You're going
to
watch a scene from a movie with some pop music in it.
Okay.
And notice just sort of how perfect this is, right?
Quick one while he's away.
Right. So the Who song.
Yep.
And comes in, the Who song has several movements. It's a long song.
Yeah.
This comes in at a very specific spot mm-hmm. in the song, starting off one of the movements. And it's a scene where they're going back. The main character is going back and forth with these sort of revenge
yeah.
tactics,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Trying to get
yeah.
back at each other. And it keeps ramping up and ramping yeah. up. And I just love the way the music just sort of ramps up with that
yeah.
too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's, and you hear sort of the sort of frantic nature of them playing, you know, and it just mm-hmm. gets kind of wild and crazy when the, you know, he can't press the brakes on his car, right? Right? It just sort of fits together. But yet there's also sort of an incongruity to the You Are Forgiven
yes,
thing,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to get back at each other. And then, but that sort of foreshadows the idea that later on they do get back
they
together
do.
And they mm-hmm. they reconcile,
yeah.
right?
Cool pick.
So, all right. Is that it?
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fun to look at those just like technically, like, you know, most songs in movies can only occur during montage.
Exactly.
Ah. Right. Exactly so. Mm. Right.
And, right.
And so it's an important thing to notice as a because as soon as you add lyrics to movie music, you know, it becomes a conflict laden issue
yeah.
to deal with dialogue.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know, so for instance, when I record a song, isn't this all about me? Right. When I record a song, I always make a vocal less version uh-huh. of that song in case I have to sell it to a film company.
That's very interesting.
And so you can cut away from the vocals. But The Who did not do that
mm-hmm.
because they were not hip enough to do that in 1968 or whenever right. they were recording this stuff. They didn't do that kind of stuff. And so it's interesting. You have to pick a swath of film
yeah.
that has no dialogue.
Really interesting.
And that you can only put the like the little clicks of cutting the, you know, cutting the cable on the bike,
right.
You know, cutting, fiddling with the car, and that they'll be visually like cohesive. You know,
right.
They'll be cogent and will know what's going on mm-hmm. without dialogue.
That's right. It's similar in a way to a
so
music
interesting.
To
yeah.
a music video, which would tell a story uh-huh. without dialogue.
Right.
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 All
mm-hmm.
through visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
right. I just like the way he, not only when he backs over the bike, that he puts it back and sort of like wraps the
yeah.
the lock around right. on the rack. Right. Very classic Bill Murray. Now, here's a couple funny things about that version of the song.
Okay.
On the movie, it's the version from Rock and Roll Circus.
Yeah.
Right?
The
Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
The big Rolling Stones live show that had other bands in it.
Yep.
And it's the live version from that. But then apparently they could not get the rights for that version for the actual soundtrack, which I think sold a lot of copies.
Yeah.
The Rushmore soundtrack, which has like Kinks and other stuff on
yeah.
it. But in the Creation.
Yeah.
But so what they did was they put the Live at Leeds version
oh, right.
on the soundtrack.
Got it. So it's a little bit different than...
A little bit.
Yeah.
It only
mm-hmm.
mattered to people like us.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, I know, Charlie, you have a lot of experience in orchestral music. There's sort of an orchestral nature to this song as well. As I mentioned, it's a movement. It's sort of the idea of the... It was Pete Townsend's first foray into like the rock opera. It was sort of a mini rock opera.
Uh-huh.
It tells a story. It's almost kind
yeah.
of... it's almost sort of... what am I looking for? Epic, you know, kind
yeah.
of an epic tale kind of story.
Kind of warm up for yes. Tommy where he fully explored
right.
that idea. Yeah, you know?
That's right. Okay. Should I move on?
Sure.
All right. This one is totally different.
Okay.
But it just makes me happy.
Okay. And that's
and
a good reason.
I think there's something just kind of maybe a happy sort of accident with this song. So think of the movie National Lampoon's Vacation.
Okay, got it.
Seen that movie, Chevy
mm-hmm.
Chase?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a movie where, you know, it's your basic kind of goofy comedy. Everything goes wrong. One scene after another mm-hmm. of just, you know, disaster for the dad,
yeah.
the suburban dad.
Who wants it so bad.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun, and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fucking fun, we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles. You'll be whistling Symphony Doodah out of your ass. I gotta be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose!
just wants to take his family to Wally World.
Yeah.
And they're driving from Chicago to LA to go to this amusement park. And it's just one, you know, misadventure after another. But yet, every time they get back on the road, you hear a happy song, yeah, right?
That's right.
Okay, so that's Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Holiday Road.
Okay.
And there's really not much to that song. It's a very, very simple song. And it's funny, too, because Lindsey Buckingham, in his solo work, was always trying to be, like, really experimental and complex in his songwriting and trying to, you know, show that he was, you know, the real brains behind Fleetwood Mac or whatever, you know, really trying to do all this crazy stuff. But yet, this is an example of a song that was written specifically for a movie.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So they commissioned this.
That's another thing. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They wanted this kind of like theme song for the movie or whatever. And for whatever reason, you know, Lindsey Buckingham hooked up with these producers and wrote this song. And it's just sort of like you can almost sense that maybe it's kind of dashed off or whatever. But yet it sort of fits the whole feeling of the movie in a way.
It does.
It has sort of a California kind of feel to it. A little bit Beach Boys-esque, but in that sort of like 80s pop way.
Yeah.
And yet, and it's a whole idea of like, you know, we're taking the family out to California.
Yeah.
If you're like me and grew up in the Midwest, you think of California as this like, you know,
Nirvana.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, and it sort of resets, it continues to sort of reset the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
That's really cool. Yeah.
Something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And now, okay, we're back. We're on our way again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's the journey, not the destination much. That's very interesting.
That's great. I did not know that song, and I wouldn't have guessed Lindsey Buckingham, but you know, actually makes perfect sense when you hear it.
Yeah. And I didn't know that was written specifically for that movie. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. I was trying to look up a story I recently read about a guy who had the ambition to have a drink in the public bar, the most extreme northern hemisphere, the most possible farthest northern hemisphere, and then drive from there to the bar, the public bar in the most extreme southern hemisphere of the world. And he ended up doing this. Obviously, at some points, he had to ship his car across the ocean. But it reminded me of the whole, we're just going somewhere, you know, for not necessarily a very good reason. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Yeah. I just thought of it.
Right.
I've been here for a week. I know.
That's right.
By the way, the little female backing voice you hear.
Yeah.
Not Stevie Nicks.
Oh,
I don't think.
Okay. Sorry. As long as it's not Christine McVie. Okay. Yeah. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Should we get out of here?
Sure.
Okay. This is Rock in the Suburbs. Listen to us
every day.
Find us on all the big podcast platforms. Email us rock@suburbspod.com. Call us 612-440-1984. You could tell I may need to use the facilities. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @suburbspod. And thanks, Charlie Barnett, for joining us all this week and having us at your house.
Great, dude.
You bet.
Thank you so much. This is really fun.
Okay.
And now you're going to play some piano for us, right? All right.
This is going to be amazing.
All right. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we're going to hear some piano from Charlie Barnett. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Mm-hmm.
più o meno 1,60 sui 50 kg. Capelli neri.
I don't know why it's in Spanish there, but that's the YouTube I got.